About the other Samba, the next generation. I'm not sure how Samba 4.0 really relates to the next generation in that sense. For quite some time there have been two Sambas, two Samba projects, two SMB server projects. As I understand it, Samba TNG evolved to a DCE, whatever, RPC project. And let me welcome Martin Hechenberger and Elrond, who are active in that area and who would like to tell us what they are currently doing. And yeah, you see the agenda there. Welcome, Martin and Elrond.
Hello. First of all, thanks to Cernet for inviting us, and thanks to Cernet for this very, very great event they've organized. This nice guy left to me is Elrond. My name is Martin. And here on this slide you see what's expecting you in this short session. It's first of all a short introduction, then Elrond tells you about the history, how it came to this fork, to this split up. The third point is status. I'll tell you what we're doing and how far we've come. The fourth point is plans, what we're going to do. Elrond will tell you afterwards about the architecture. There are slight differences between the classical Samba and Samba TNG. Then we also have problems, of course. Then the seventh point is our relationship to the other place. It's actually this place. Then I've put together some scenarios to find out how Samba TNG can be used and what's capable of doing. And today we've already heard a lot about migration. And so, John, for example, thank you for doing half of the work for me. And the tenth point is integration with Samba. What can we do to find, again, together sometimes? I don't know. But perhaps we will have a nice discussion afterwards. Okay, we're still alive. It's some kind of provocation. Because very, very often we heard, if you don't do this, 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 and that, and this way, you will die. TNG will die. But we're alive, and we'll just do it the other way around. When we are finally dead, we will tell you. Now, the other thing is that you might not have heard a very lot of us in the last year, for example, but we did some kind of reanimation of our project. There's a lot of more traffic on our mailing lists, and you see more frequent updates on our website. And I hope we can tell you something about this kind of different flavor or Samba flavor, how you want to call it. Okay, Elrond, it's your turn to tell about how it has come so far. Well, another thing I want to tell you is we're just in four. What you see here is 50% of the Samba TNG team. Indeed. This is Elrond, our main maintainer. He's reliable for most of the code modifications. Then me, Martin. I am a tester, I'm a debugger, I write documentation. I'm inspiring the team and motivating, and I kick him in the ass if he's just getting too lazy. Then we have Stefan, he's in Freiburg. He's a test farm for us. And he's already running an environment on Samba TNG as a domain controller with 3,000 users for a year now, and it's really stable and it's really working very well. Then we have Peter from the United States. His favorite toy is RPC clients, and we'll introduce RPC clients to you afterwards.
Okay, now I want to tell how it came to Samba TNG. Samba TNG was originally a branch of Lucanus Christian Leiften in the year of 2000. He worked there, and some people downloaded it and used it. It was quite interesting. In the beginning of 2000, I came to Samba TNG more of an accident. I debugged. I was using Samba TNG at my site, and there were some memory management problems. The thing crashed unexpectedly. And it seemed that it wasn't fixed for weeks. So I started to debug the whole thing and sent Luke patches. And this continued for a while. I'm sending patches, he committing them. This lasted until the mid of 2000. When in the mid of 2000, the whole those things started a bit to diverge. Some things were personal things, some things were technical. At this time, also Luke went to Australia and worked there together with the rest of the Samba team. And at that time, the whole thing started to really diverge. My understanding is that the personal factor was quite large, and I don't want to bore you with any details. And on the other side, you heard different stories depending on whom you listen to, on which side. In the last quarter of 2000, Samba TNG finally stopped for some weeks. There seemed no point in continuing, and because we didn't think about at that time, we didn't want to spawn a new project, and on the other side, we didn't see that our ideas and so were recognized and were actually going into the normal Samba tree. So there seemed no point in continuing. Then, after declaring the death, there was a declaration in that area. People asked us to continue and started even. There were quite some people that asked, and some people even offered us hosting and things like these. And after some discussion internally, we then decided to continue and make it a new project. And we used some of these resources that were offered. We still use, for example, the offer for our web space and for our public CVOS repository. Okay.
Okay, the status. Now we are officially beta. We posted this on Slashdot, and people read Samba TNG and they wondered about if there's perhaps a new Star Trek series. it's really quite stable, I must say, and it's used in many at many sites in production. For example, I told you with Stefan, two of my customers have it running with 1,000 users in it, with about 450 client machines, and it's working really, really good, really well. Our work. Most of our work is invested in domain controller functionality and client tools. With these client tools, you can control the TNG server and the clients. And so we always say, if you want a file server or a print server, use the classic Samba. It's an excellent product. But if you want PDC functionality, why not try ours? And next point is administration is quite easy. Administrators that are used to the NT user interface, like user manager, server manager, can use this. We have about 95% of this working. If you want more, more about the status, see the status, have a look at our status page at www.summertng.org. There you find a detailed listing what you can do, what is working, what is not working in connection with what client and so on. Our plans, Aaron.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you a little what we are planning and somewhat what we are already doing. One of our most important goals is a really nice code. This is really and really better to maintain code. This is important in our area quite a lot, since we are few maintainers. Two, we only do this in their spare time, so the code must be maintainable really easily. Another step in trying to get this easier to maintain for us is trying to outsource things by simply using other people's work, and either integrating this in our code or using it, or asking people to install it before using our code. We are currently, for example, shipping libtool, which is used to build shared libraries on many platforms, and it works quite nicely. We didn't have any bug reports until now on libtool. We are also shipping TDB, which you probably know from the other Samba. We currently ship it because the current released TDB package doesn't really, for example, it doesn't compile on AEX. So we have to ship it and build it in our tree. And I have noted here Sigwin, because we shipped some few files from Sigwin because they did a good job on doing some things like Win32 error messages and that stuff. So we ship that. It's easier to ship that instead of requiring you to install Sigwin on your RPUX box. Things that we currently are optional is Open LDAP to get the LDAP backend. Gilib is currently optional in our ZVS tree, but we are planning to make it required. It helps really a lot to get us some nice features that we don't want to code up just again. Why reinvent the wheel? There's no need to reinvent the wheel, and Gilib does a real good job. Okay. On the list in no particular order are things like doing full PDC-BDC stuff. That is really the anti-PDC-BDC stuff, so that you even can do some scary things like run a normal NT-PDC and run Samba TNG as a BDC, or vice versa, depending on what you want to do. Or to make migrations easier, for example, have an old NT-PDC and install a Samba TNG BDC and later make it a PDC. It's also on our list. This is quite the same as the ID maps that was presented in the previous talk. It's just really, in some sense, it's really the same. Just they use another name for it. The idea for source is quite old, and it was again by Luke. Something we are currently really working on is things like that people in the administrator's alias or group on the Samba TNG PDC can manipulate the complete users, the users on the TNG PDC. Currently, you have to be logged in as root to manipulate the users. Many people ask for this so they can have different people manage the accounts. This is currently in progress, but not really good tested until now, but we are working on it. Some of the things that we have started just to talk today, and that seems an interesting idea, is to put Win's database into LDAP. This lets us do some things like replication for Win's, so that you can have a backup Win's server or a second Win's server. It might be, it sounded quite interesting, but I won't promise that this will happen soon. Oh, yeah. On the other list of what we are going to plan is OpenDCE. That is DCE. DCE is currently being released under the LGPL license by the Open Group, and we are planning somewhat to use that in our code to make our code easier to maintain. Generate some C files and do other funny things about them.
It was a power saving.
We should have disabled it.
How about it's not dead?
Okay. Oh yeah, on our main list of goals is really having a standard conforming LDAP backend. For example, as we are talking, Peter and someone else, Christian Jung from Saarland, are working on getting the LDAP backend more standard conforming, for example, in the group area. Currently, we have our own attribute for group memberships in LDAP, and we are trying to migrate to a standard attribute so that, for example, the groups are really coherent with the groups that, for example, NSS LDAP will see. NSS LDAP can also use unique member, which is the attribute we are going to migrate to. Our migration will be smooth for users, so they don't have to be worried. We have currently a SMB.conf parameter to switch over, and it's still not finished, so this is work in progress. Yeah, and one of our main goals currently is really to get a full NTPDC functionality, really fully, so that you can really plug it in and it works. Oh, architecture. Okay. I wanted to explain a little how our code is internally structured and what we are doing to make what makes it different, for example, from the other place, from normal Samba. One of the main things that you will notice immediately if you try Samba TNG is instead of two or three daemons that are running, SMBD and NMBD and maybe WinBind, you get about 10 daemons. From the first glance, this sounds a bit scary, but since we use shared libraries, it doesn't really make much difference. And most of these daemons don't fork often and don't really run long. So the main problem is on the SMBD, and that's the standard problem. The other daemons are mostly doing the RPC stuff, that is, for example, netlogon or we have even a really simplistic remote registry service. I think the classic Samba have an other registry service. But for example, we also have a service control daemon. If you have played with NT, you maybe know the services, and one can start and stop them remotely. And we have a service control daemon. And if you are funny enough, you can you can configure it to even start your Apache or your Bind or whatever, and export it as an NT service so that people can stop and start it from the NT boxes. Maybe someone wants this. The separation of into daemons forces us to get our code more cleanly, because we can't simply use something from another daemon and have to find out what is the correct way of talking to this other daemon to get it right. In many cases, this leads us to find out what NT does in this area, and that way we are more compatible to NT than sometimes even necessary. This is quite interesting because we learn a lot about NT internals on this side. And for example, the talk yesterday the guy from Frost gave was quite interesting about all these NT tools. We knew 90% of these tools, but there were tools that were quite interesting to us. Okay, and the other thing you will notice after installing Samba GNG and starting to read some docs and starting the quick reading the quick how-to is we don't have SMB pass3D anymore as a command. You can't recreate the users that way. You have to start Samba TNG and use RPC client to create them. RPC client is our standard method of managing TNG. And the interesting point about it is RPC client uses the normal NT methods of managing this stuff. So you can manage TNG with RPC client, but you can also manage any other Windows server or even Windows client. Martin will later tell a bit more about the RPC client because he's done some funny things with it. Of course, we have some problems. One of our main problems is manpower. We have four people, and all of them do this stuff in their spare time. We don't get any money, nothing. Just what we have on spare time is getting into Samba TNG. And it would be nice to have some more developers, but decent developers. It's not really fun to get. You have developers that commit crap into your CVS tree, and you have later to run around and fix everything. You just think, okay, I could have done that myself. Yeah, of course. As I said, there's quite no one that is sponsoring TNG. The only sponsoring that is currently happening is our hosting. We have some, and this is quite distributed. It's like our DNS server is somewhere in Germany, scattered around. Is a 2 DNS server, or a public web server is in Canada, or a public CVS hotel is also in Canada, and our private stuff and mailing list are just in another place in Germany. Some things that make problems to us are also hardware problems. You will laugh at me, but if I tell you what my development box is, a Pentium 90. And it gets me to one interesting point. Samba TNG probably compiles much faster than the other Samba, because... Because it has to compile faster on my box. So we made it to compile faster in some places and to recompile faster. Another point is that our user base and test base is quite small. So it can happen that we implement something and 2 months later someone tells you, oh, this one is crashing. Because no one tested it until now. And that's quite. It would be helpful to have more testing and an interesting environment. Other thing is, I wanted to explain a little about the other place. Other place is just another name for head and for Samba Classic. I mean the normal Samba. The name head is just because most of the development is occurring in a CVS tree called head. And if you talk to the other to the people from Samba, from the normal Samba, so you are used to this. This is working in head. or sometimes they say, this is working 3.0. But mostly they say, this is working in head. And that's one of the reasons we call them head. The other place is some stories that happened on our mailing list about a university that is scattered in two places, and one side of the university always says the other place. And our normal term of referring to normal Samba is Samba Classic. This is our official term which we use in documentation, and I think it's quite accurate.
Is that okay?
What would really be nice would improving communication with Samba Classic. Sometimes the domestication is quite okay. So, for example, at this conference, it was okay. We have talked a lot together, but for example, 3 months ago or so, we haven't exchanged a single word for about, let's say, 3 months. There was nothing. And sometimes this can be not so nice. There are things happening in this area that are really not nice. What I talk about, better, I'm not going into detail in this area. It's not nice for both sides to get into detail in this area. And another thing is that we know on both sides, so this is probably a fault of both sides, that the code of both sides is not really nice to be used on the other side. I've heard, for example, Volker, who was trying to port our secure channel over some weeks ago, and he said he took something like 6 hours to port it over. So it doesn't seem that our code doesn't plug into nicely into their code. And the other way around is also true. I'm going into this on a later. I have some examples there on other things, so I'm going into this later.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've prepared some scenarios, and we want to show you with these how we use TNG, and these scenarios are still really working in the real world and wild. So the first example is TNG with old LDAP, and one special thing is the SAM sequence number in connection with LDAP. The second one is TNG with Multimaster Open LDAP to emulate the BDC functionality. The third one shows that TNG can also work together with Domino's LDAP server, IBM Domino. Also, Exchange server can talk to TNG domain controller, and this with domain trust, if you like. And the last point would be some explanation about RPC clients. This is this nifty tool that can control clients as well as servers. The first scenario is this TNJ with OpenLLAP server. I prepared a chart just to get an overview of what's happening there. You have the OpenLLAP server providing all information via the NSS switch. It provides the POSIX accounts and groups, which TNG needs, on the other hand, like we're talking about here, and we had before, we need POSIX users for Samba or TNG users. TNG gets also the information from the open LDAP. Oh, good break. WinBind takes the information from the TNG server and provides on the Samba file server, for example, those virtual POSIX accounts. It provides a mapping to Unix users via the NSS switch. And Samba can authenticate against the TNG domain controller. So please don't delete some TDBs on the Samba file server, otherwise you lose this UID mapping. It would be bad for your ACLs. And what I wanted to give you a hint on ACLs, please do not use X3 ACL support, quota support, and SMP support in your kernel. It will crash sometimes, perhaps not, but it's a very unstable system. You can read this on acl.bestbits.at. Better use XFS, for example, from SGI. Okay, that's working. The next example would be an emulation of BDC functionality, because we don't have Samsync working right now. It would work if you just synced open LDAP via slurped. Either you use one direction or you use a dual head or multi-head, multi-master configuration. Slurp can do that right now. It does it and checks who sends the modification. If the modification comes from the user replicator, it won't replicate again, so you won't get into a loop. And this is quite a nice trick to get multi-mastering working. So you can also use a domino as an LLP server, with the advantage that you can manage your mail uses as well as your domain uses with one user interface, which is comfortably customizable. And another side note, there exists a single logon service for Lotus nodes, so you don't have to log on twice. It's a first step to a kind of a single sign-on environment. If you log on to Windows, the single sign-on service talks to Lotus Notes and says, yeah, you're logged in. And if you change your password for the ID file in Lotus Notes, also the single log-on service changes your password on the TNG PDC. It's quite nice. Domain trusts. This scenario shows that on one hand, domain trusts are working into both ways, and on the other hand, Exchange Server can talk to our TNG PDC. If you see that a user from a foreign domain logs on a client that's in the other domain, there's no problem in exchanging information and forwarding information. For example, here, you see a user from a domain A logs on a client that is originally joined to the primary domain controller in domain B. The credential passed over to this controller in order to authenticate the user, and then the connection to the Exchange server can take place. This is for Exchange Server 5.5, really working very well, except IMAP, because we found out that if you connect to IMAP, Exchange Server wants to pass a clear text password to the domain controller, and we're not quite sure whether we want to allow that.
The clear text password is really going over the net. So if you do IMAP SSL in your Exchange server, you haven't really, you have only won something against your clients, but not in your local network. Mm. Fun.
What chance is that?
What?
What RPC construct is that
here? I don't remember exactly. It was something. The question was some technical one, and was where exactly in which information level and in which structure this plaintext was what is traveling over the network. And my answer is, I don't know off my head. I have some debug logs from Samba TNG getting this stuff, and in there is the plain text password, and we are not sure if we want to implement the stuff.
And there was another question over there. Yes, 2000, even native mode. Native mode should work. Tested is mixed mode in the 2000 domain controller. Okay, that's working. But we have a small restriction in there. We just have passwords, multiple of four.
It's a setup time.
Setup of trusts are... what the other place has is that NT trusts us. That Samba Classic has this too, and this is easy to set up. You just have to put domain dollar sign in your Unix. Yeah, and that's easy, and you can do this even from user manager and works like a charm. The other way that TNG trusts either an other TNG server or an NT server or a Windows 2000 server is currently a bit hard to set up. It's about three commands in RPC client. You have to look them up. They have funny characters in them, like $$ domain name. We have documented this somewhere, but this isn't really nice. And what was Martin talking about this multiple of four characters, at this setup time, for trust, you have passwords, and the initial password have to be a multiple of four or eight characters. We recommend eight character long passwords. And one of the things we are also working on is getting trusts easier to set up. We want to get it to the point that you can set up them also from user manager or from RPC client. And if you are at that point, you can also manage remote trusts on NT boxes with RPC client. It's not really fancy, is there? All the network traffic is already in my head. I just have to implement the whole fun and think up something how to store the stuff from TNG either in LDAP or TDBs or wherever.
Then another thing would be if you had not Exchange Server 5.5, but Exchange Server 2000. Exchange Server 2000 needs either an Active Directory to store the information or an Active Directory connector, but you can circumvent that by also establishing a trust between the domain controller you're using, for example TNG, and the 2000 Exchange Server. So you can also use Exchange Server 2000 with a restriction of IMAP, as I mentioned before. It's still seemingly to be
from
there.
From the picture, you can imagine of these two boxes there over being one box and being the Windows 2000 controller.
Okay, the last one of my scenarios is the management with RPC client. You can manage users, you can manage group, you can add, delete users, add, delete groups, add users to groups and remove them. Again, you can establish trusts. One nice feature is the service control. You can control service on a remote Windows NT, Windows 2000, Windows XP box. You can start, stop services, and you can enumerate those services. And what we're working on is that you can set the character of this service, either auto start, manual, or not active. You can view event logs there. You can manipulate registry keys, registry attributes, and so on. And with a bit of fantasy, you can make very short scripts. For example, get all the installed software of your client boxes, get installed printers, get logged on users. I implement this partly with PHP scripts, activating the RPC client and then showing us on the internet which user has which software installed, what is he doing, and which printers are running there, checking and passing the event log and auto-mailing to the administrators and so on. It's quite good working with that. The migration part has been done by some speakers before, so I just want to give some hints, the differences. We do it not by using any something or something similar. We just use pwdump, and with this pwdump, we are going towards. We just first of all remove non-nasty characters from usernames. Then we have some scripts. Each step is represented by a script. In this case, we have one script to make of this pwdump SMB passwordy file. We have another script to make a passwordy file out of it, and then another script to make an LD file. So it's quite flexible. You can do with it what you want, but you have then the domain, the users, the computers, everything there. What I'm working on is a group migration tool or a group migration script, and they'll be released as soon as I have finished. Okay, the most important thing is that you use an LDAP backend because you can't store all necessary information in SMB passwordy, unfortunately. But we've had something similar by Andrew first. You use this TDB sum in addition to SMB password file to store information. Okay, are we too long?
No.
Okay, some advantages migrating to TNG is a flexible read allocation for users. There was one problem I saw. It was about 1.5 years ago, and I wanted to migrate. And I didn't find any solution with Samba 2.2. I mailed with Andrew, and it didn't quite work. And so I used TNG because there, using the LDAP backend, you can allocate reads as you want, which means that you can really take information from one domain controller to another, and you have the same users, the same machine accounts, and so on. The same for groups. Just a note: we don't need Unix groups in order to get domain groups working. We have real domain group support with LDAP. Quite nice is our next read attribute. You can see which read the next user or next group or next allied, whatever you are creating, will get. And so, for example, you have you call a hook, a create user, fire a command in your SMB passwordy, and parse the read, and then assign it to your Unix ID, so have it at least a bit in sync to make the administration more convenient. And this is meant by flexible scripting. We have add group script, delete user script, add and so on. We have even, if someone likes it, hooks like a script for adding users to groups and deleting them. So you really synchronize Unix structure with the domain structure regarding users and groups. Integration, Aaron, it's yours.
Okay, integration is about what is possible to integrate Samba TNG with Samba Classic. There's some this theme that comes up often, and people ask us about what could be done, and I'm going to show the possibilities. The first one that is quite obvious is merging. That means that we take code from Samba Classic and put it in our code so that we get their functionality, for example, in the file serving or print serving area. This sounds easy. It isn't. just let me make an example. Maybe some of you know MSDFS, the distributed file system. Samba Classic supports it, and someday I couldn't help it, and I tried to update our MSDFS code just out of fun and trying it out. I have to admit, I have merged it over. I haven't tried it yet, so I have no idea if it's working or not. The merging of this small piece of code, it's quite separated, and the code in Samba Classic is quite really separate. You can easily find it, and it's okay. So merging exactly only this code over took about 2 days, and working every day half a day. Only this small piece of code. So it really takes a lot of time merging this stuff over. The merging includes understanding the code, trying to find hooks into our code so that it works together with our code correctly, and sometimes fixing bugs, reviewing it, and all those things. And it really takes long, and we don't have the manpower to do exactly that. Not to mention that it can be really frustrating. The next option that people ask about is why not integrate, why not make TNG an extension to Samba Classic by, for example, using plugin modules in Samba Classic that then call back to our MSRPC daemons. I have talked a lot about this with Andrew Bartlett, and it's quite appealing, but there are a lot of problems in this area. I'm just going to give some simple examples of the problems. For example, also, Samba TNG isn't supporting really printing very well. Let me make an example with printing. With printing, you have two options. Either you have Windows 95 printing style, this is all old SMB printing, or you have NT style printing, this is printing over MSRPC. So, if we provide the MSRPC spool SS backend, so NT clients print to us, and all is fine. For them, the world looks nice, and they print, and it works nice. But then someone from Windows 95 prints against us, prints against this combination, and what happens? Well, SMBD does this stuff on its own and uses the printing backend that the normal Samba is using. So they print in totally different places. This is not really what you want. You want one single place where you can see the jobs and delete them. If you have an NT box in front of you to administer the print queues, and you can't delete the print jobs from the Windows 95 box, there's no point in that. Solving this either requires agreeing on APIs so that we can talk to their printing backends or things like these. One problem in this area is first agreeing on these APIs. I don't know, I haven't tried this yet, but I'm guessing that agreeing will be quite interesting alone. And the other thing will be, as you have maybe heard yesterday, sometimes Samba Classic changes API just. You have heard this about the Apache modules, which started to not working anymore yesterday. So for our point of view, this is a moving target. A moving target isn't really fun. We don't want to have three versions just to make sure our modules work with all sorts of Samba versions. The option that works nicely and that we recommend currently is dualing Samba. That means you run Samba TNG on either on one box and normal Samba on other box. This is what works nicely. What of course you can do is run them on the same box and use different IP names, different NetBIOS names. There's exactly one problem in this area. This is NMBD, which wants to bind to 0.0.0.0 port 137. And both want to bind to that. That doesn't work. I haven't really tested this currently, and I haven't seen anyone really recommended me how to. It works really, but I know it works somewhere. People said it works, but they didn't tell me how. One thing I'm aware of is running only one NMBD and telling that NMBD that it also has a NetBIOS alias for the other name, so that the box really answers to both names. Another option that we are currently thinking of wanting to talk to is we heard yesterday that Andrew Tritchell is working on Samba 4, and from it sounded like it's a complete rewrite, and so it might be an option to that we can get into better contact and try to make it so both sides can cooperate in this code even better.
Yeah.
Okay, you've done it. Are there any questions?
You said before with Open LDAP it's possible to use multi-master replication.
Yes.
Since when version? Do you know that? Or
well, I don't exactly know since when. I just saw it on the Usenet and tried it myself about 6 weeks ago.
Okay, we'll try.
One?
My last conversation with Kurt Selenga, he told me that it was not yet in any released version of OpenLDAP, so unless you're using a released version, if you're pulling it out of CVS, that's where I've seen it.
Pardon?
The OpenLDAP that has multi-master replication has not been released yet.
You can get it to work. You find in the internet some piece of information here and there, and you can get it to work really.
I'm not even sure if this new stuff in OpenLDAP uses SlurpD. This push replication makes multi-master very hard. And when I talked to Kurt, he first said, well, we are working on this LDAP synchronization stuff, which is a pull replication mode. And he secondly said SlurpD is out. So I would be quite interested in getting a pointer who did. I mean, in theory, it is possible to do sort of multi-master thing by having two slurp daemons getting the messages and the small patch to say I won't replicate to my master because I know he already has it. But that's not the whole game. I mean, what do you do when an entry is deleted and another master wants to add an attribute to that? I think it's quite a complicated question.
It's a bit risky
question. Because
locking must take place in the application, of course. But if you just make a one direction, if you have one slave instead of two masters, you can provide logons even if the master is gone. But you cannot join machines. You can't change your password. You can, but it won't stay very long, and you have a lot of conflicts in there. So you'd better do this only if you know what you're doing.
You said you have the domain trust password limitation. Where does it come from? What's the problem? The main problem in this area is some encryption related. The encryption used in this area is a block cipher, and a block cipher, of course, needs a fixed length. And we just haven't yet analyzed what exactly this block cipher is doing if you use not a length that is a multiple of 4 or 8 characters. It's just a matter of finding out exactly what they do. It's not really hard. You just have to get a Windows box and let it do this LSA password thing against a TNG box and analyze what exactly comes. And it's a bit of work. And yeah.
Okay. Any further questions? So thanks to Martin and Elrond.